Amen. Please be seated. And turn with me, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. The Word of God is life-giving. And by faith in Jesus Christ, we draw life from every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, including this passage in 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 13. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you are ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. This is God's word, his will for your life. Please join me in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word, and we pray that by your Spirit, Lord, you would open our eyes, that we would see wondrous things in your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, how well do you wait, or how do you like waiting for something? Generally speaking, nobody likes to wait, and we all like to have things when we want to have them. And I see at least two different kinds of waiting. We wait for something we want, something we're expecting. It might be a birthday. It might be a celebration. It might be a gathering with friends. You may have been waiting for this Memorial Day picnic, only to be disappointed that we're not having it now. But then there's also another kind of waiting. There's waiting on a situation that's unpleasant, a situation that is not changing. And it's could be a prolonged illness. It could be sitting in traffic. It could be an airplane sitting on a tarmac and you're waiting to take off. There's many ways to wait. So if there's different types of waiting, think of two different ways to wait. We can wait passively. We can take out our phones. We can try to play some games. We're trying to mindlessly let the time pass to avoid thinking of the unpleasantness of the wait. We want things to go by so we can get to something else. But then there's a way of waiting that is active, that is engaged. We're using the time to anticipate, to look forward to this thing that comes next. And in the midst of difficulties, troubles, even persecution, also known as life in the wilderness, Peter's letter shows us how to wait in hope, how to wait with hope, waiting with as obedient children, waiting with a sober mind, and waiting for redemption. We're waiting, Peter is going to show us, in ways that are active, that are anticipating the promises of God. To wait with a sober mind is to know what you should be doing as you're waiting, to know what you should be doing. But first, we should spend a moment thinking about the word hope. What does it mean to hope? If we look in verse 13, the main verb is set your hope, or fix your hope. Set your hope. The English translations begin that verse with the word therefore, because Peter is building an argument. He's building an argument that's based on the things that he said so far. And in verses 10 through 12, Peter is speaking about the message of salvation, the message of salvation that's revealed through the prophets. And verse 3 blesses God, because by faith, that message that was revealed through the prophets has led to the recipients of this letter to be born again to a living hope. Born again by grace through faith, born again through faith in Christ Jesus and in his resurrection from the dead. Verse 3, the living hope that you were born to is through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Hope is different, and it's distinct from a wish or a desire. Hope is an eager expectation of obtaining something good. You might know Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. It's the conviction of things that have not been seen. The psalmist in Psalm 42 and 43, he tells himself, hope in God. He's counseling himself to hope in God. And Hebrews 3:6 tells us that hope is the basis for your confidence. If your confidence is lacking, your hope may be shaky. Hope also gives us pleasure. It fills us with joy. Proverbs 10:28 says, the hope of the righteous brings joy, but the expectation of the wicked will perish. And then Romans 15:13, you may have heard this blessing. Paul says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. By believing, you are filled with hope and joy, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. If you lack joy, it could be because you have misplaced hopes. You have perhaps unfulfilled hopes. J.I. Packer says that humans are hoping creatures. We are creatures who hope. And this reflects Ecclesiastes 3:11 that says, God has put eternity in the hearts of mankind. We are hoping creatures because God has made us to hope, because he's put eternity in our hearts. But do you know where you will spend eternity? God gives us new life. He regenerates a person from death to life as you turn to his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, in faith. And becoming a Christian is as simple as A, B, C. It's to admit that you are a sinner, that you are hopeless to save yourself, and there is no means on earth that will save you. It's admitting your place of dependence upon the grace of God. It's believing that the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, took on the nature of a man, and he lived on this earth, and he obediently kept the law of God, and he fulfilled the plan of God, which was to die on a cross for the sins of his people, to believe that Christ is who he says he is, and to know that through his death and resurrection, your sins are forgiven, and you are put in a right relationship with the living God. And then it's to commit your life. Jesus says, if anyone wants to follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me, to commit your life to Jesus Christ. But for the Christian, faith, hope, and love are gifts to be exercised. Faith, hope, and love are gifts that must be exercised. How? We'll look again in verse 13. And you'll, along with that main verb, set your hope, you'll see two participles. You'll see preparing your minds for action, Or the old King James will say, gird up your minds, gird up the loins of your mind for action. And then also the second one, being sober-minded, being sober-minded. To wait with a sober mind is to prepare yourself for action. Preparing yourself and living with a sober mind, those participles are complementary. They work together. A sober mind we can think of as the opposite of being drunk. The opposite of drunkenness. To be drunk is to be overwhelmed or overpowered by alcohol, is to excite the passions of the flesh. And we may immediately think of alcohol as the means to do that, but you can actually get drunk in many different ways. You can live as if you are living for the moment without thinking of tomorrow in many different ways. Drunkenness is not something that only comes through alcohol. It comes through not preparing one's mind, not thinking of tomorrow. It functionally is living without hope. It's living for the moment. It's living to fulfill the adage, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. There's no thought of tomorrow. It's simply living for the moment. But a sober mind lives hopefully, looking forward to tomorrow and prepared for action. The world lives without hope, either awaiting the judgment of God or thinking somehow that through their own false hopes they can avoid such judgment. But Christian, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 says to set your hope fully, to fix your hope fully on grace. We know that grace is as simple as God's riches at Christ's expense. And the Christian is saved by grace through faith. But look also, this is a grace that is future. Set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You're saved by grace, but there is a future grace to which you are to look forward to. How do you set your hope fully on this grace? Well, King David did it like this. Psalm 27, verse 4. He says, "One thing I have asked of the Lord, and that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." Of all the things that David had hoped for, that was the one he prioritized above every other. That's how David set his hope on future grace. The Apostle Paul did it like this in Romans 8, verses 23 through 25. Paul says, "And not only the creation, but he said, we ourselves, we who have been born again," he says, "we who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope," Paul says, "we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience." Paul is waiting for the adoption as sons. Yes, he is an adopted son, but there is a completed adoption. There is a future grace that he's looking forward to. There's a redemption of the body that is wasting away, even as the inner person is being renewed. So how about you? How do you fix your hope on this future grace? How do you do it? Soberly and preparedly. Well, Peter provides more insight as he continues to instruct his audience on how to wait. And verse 14 opens with a picture of how you can wait. He says, "As obedient children." As obedient children, you could wait. Now, I don't know if you're like me, but as I read that and I thought, how are children an example of waiting well. That just doesn't seem like those two things go together. If I want you to try an experiment, I want you to take a child and say, do you know what? I'm going to take you for ice cream, or we're going to go to the amusement park, or we're going to do this really, 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 really fun thing. But we're not going to do it today. We're going to do it next Saturday. And just wait and see how they respond. They're going to ask, is it Saturday yet? No, it's only Monday. Is it Saturday yet? No, it's only Tuesday. And they'll ask, and they'll ask, and they'll ask. And you're going to probably regret putting that thought before them. But here's what's interesting. Aren't they demonstrating an eager expectation of getting something good? Look at the expectation they have. They are believing your words. They are tried and true, hanging on to those words. And they have a true hope. They have a real hope that you will deliver on that promise. Is this the kind of hope you have for heaven? Is this the hope that you have to be in heaven? Is this what drives how you think and how you act? Because it's as obedient children, not children that are given in to excess, not children that are living drunkenly, but children that are prepared for that future grace of heaven. Waiting as obedient children means having a certain and a confident hope that will carry you through the most difficult situations of life. Confidence comes because you have a heavenly Father that keeps his promises, and you know he will not fail. You'll see in the bulletin, the Westminster Confession of Faith, chapter 8, paragraph 1, summarizes the basis for your confidence. It pleased God in his eternal purpose to choose and ordain the Lord Jesus, his only begotten Son, to be the mediator between God and man. The prophet, priest, and king, the head and savior of the church, the heir of all things, and the judge of the world. Because every promise of God is yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Peter tells us that obedient children, verse 14, are not conformed to the passions of their former ignorance. Nobody comes to Christ necessarily in the blink of an eye or having cleaned themselves up first. And so the former ignorance, the days that the Lord overlooked, that's not how you continue to live. Verse 15, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy. This is equal parts resisting my own sinful nature, but also resembling a holy God. Resisting the pull of my sinful nature while resembling a holy God. You can't do this apart from faith in Christ Jesus. Craig Troxell summarizes it like this. He says, Christ is the prophet of your heart. The prophet of your heart's mind who will enable true knowledge. Christ is the priest of your heart's desires, enabling a purified love. And Christ is the king of your heart's will, enabling obedient choices. We live and move and have our being because of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And verse 16 goes on to give us the motivation for this living. Peter is quoting Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44, when he says, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And Psalm 119, verse 166 says this, I hope for salvation, O Lord, and I do your commandments. See the connection. I hope for salvation, and I do your commandments. It's not either or, but it's both and. Discouragement is another way to describe a lack of hope. Lies of the enemy will tempt us to despair and to discouragement. But Peter shows us how to wait for hope and to strengthen hope through obedience. Hope is helped by obedience to God's revealed will. Your hope will be strengthened through your obedience to God's revealed will. Ephesians 2, verse 10 says, "We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works." And this obedience comes from a heart that is waiting for redemption. This is the why you are waiting. Verse 17 makes this connection for us. "And if you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile." If you call on him as Father, then conduct yourself with fear. Children of God pursue holiness in reverent fear of their heavenly Father, and children of God live as exiles in this land because we are living in a place that is not our home. This simple fact is demonstrated in the Lord's Prayer. "Our Father, who art in heaven." Christian, that is your destiny, to be with him in heaven. That is your home. That is your hope of glory. Now, some fathers are fun. They're making jokes all the time. Some fathers are very strict and stern. And some fathers really go beyond the pale of what a father should be. And some of you have experienced all manner of this. And so thinking of a father can be difficult unless we look at a perfect father who is our heavenly father. Psalm 103, verse 8 says this, that our heavenly father is merciful and gracious. He's slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. This is a heavenly father that can be trusted. Psalm 103, verse 13 says, as a father shows compassion on his children, so the Lord shows compassion on those who fear him, who reverence him, who worship him. So the children of God conduct themselves with fear because verse 18 tells us that we know we have been ransomed from the futile ways inherited from our forefathers. We have been ransomed. We've been ransomed from former ignorance, verse 14 says. And how? Not with perishable things like silver and gold, but you've been ransomed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. This reference should take us all the way back to Leviticus, even back to Exodus. It's interesting because verse 17 is the word exile in the ESV is translated several different ways, and you'll see this if you have different translations. Throughout the time of your exile, New King James says throughout the time of your stay, the New American Standard, during the time of your stay on earth, NIV says your time as foreigners here, and even the Legacy Standard Bible says during the time of your sojourn. In each of these cases, they're trying to translate a Greek word that speaks of a temporary or a transient living arrangement. The only other place, it's interesting, that this Greek word appears in the New Testament is in Acts chapter 13, verse 17. Paul is in Antioch, and they're in the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and the law and the prophets have already been read, and Paul is invited to speak. And so in Acts 13, 16, he stands up and he motions with his hand and he says to the audience, he says, "Men of Israel and you who fear God, listen. The God of this people Israel chose your fathers and made the people great during their stay or during their exile in the land of Egypt. And with uplifted arm, he led them out of it." Notice what happens to the people of God during their stay, during their exile, during their time in the land of Egypt. What did he do? He made them to prosper. He exalted them. He made the people great. He made them great during their exile. J.I. Packer said, this is the reason, the purpose of agape love. You know what agape love is? That sacrificial, others-oriented love. Agape love is for the purpose of making a loved one great, Packer says, making them great in whatever way that loved one needs to be made great. Can you trust your God that he is making you great during your stay, your exile, your time in the wilderness? That is a perspective that can carry you through the hardest trials of life. Think about the things that we hope for. So many things we hope for. I hope the weather gets warmer, or I hope it cools off. I hope it stops raining, or I hope we get some rain today. I hope I don't have to wait very long, or I hope it's years before I have to face that situation. I hope the conflict ends soon. We throw the word hope around so easily, and yet so many of these things are short-sighted and temporary that we're hoping for. Now, we can turn all those into prayers. I strongly encourage you to pray for these situations, but hope is founded on the promises of God. Verse 20 says this. 1 Peter 1, verse 20. Jesus was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in the last times. Why? For the sake of you, beloved. For your sake, Jesus Christ was foreknown and he was manifest for you. Verse 21 says that through faith in Jesus Christ, you are made believers in God. And just as Jesus was raised from the dead, so shall all who put their faith in God. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 as we close. 1 Thessalonians 5, starting in verse 5, has this very interesting parallel passage to what Peter has been showing us in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 5. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For a helmet, the hope of salvation. Children of light are sober. They are staying awake because they're children of the day. Children of light wear their Savior's armor. This is the armor of Christ, and it includes a helmet, which is your hope of salvation. Let's pray. Our God and Father, Lord, we marvel at your great and wondrous grace that you have shown us, Father. We thank you that it is through faith, through trusting in Christ alone for salvation, Lord, that we have this hope that is made sure. Father, this is not to diminish what any of us are going through at this moment, Father. The difficulties of life can seem to stretch us beyond our very resources, and yet, Lord, that is when you shine brightly. We pray, Father, that through the difficulties of life, we would turn to Christ Jesus, that we would worship him and him alone. And Father, I pray, Lord, that by faith you would strengthen their armor, so that they are prepared for the spiritual battles that are before them. And together you would unite us, Lord, even as a phalanx of the people of God together, that we would stand with one another and we would know, O Lord, that you have provided the best in your Son, Jesus Christ. For it is in his name we pray. Amen. Well, please stand with me as we sing our closing hymn.